The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, July 22nd, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have a conversation with a Bahamian living with paralysis due to contracting polio. He contracted polio during a young age, and I'm trying to have an interview with him to understand what is life living with polio, especially in the upcoming October, there'll be Polio Day International. And just recently, less than 15 hours ago, United States had its first polio contraction in for the first time in the last 15 years. So that was starking, and it has the entire United States up in arms on how can this be. So I want to have a conversation on that and see how my friend Whitney is managing contracting polio so long ago. But before that, I have some guests in studio, and Whitney will join me on the second half of the show. But before that, I have a guest from studio from the Bahamas Association of Massage Therapists, who will be speaking with me for like about 10, 15 minutes so I can understand exactly what and who they are, right? I have Lawrence and I have Miss Rochelle Scavala, who are massage therapists. And apparently a massage therapist is different from a masseuse. So I want to get that to understand that, because they have some big things. They're trying to form themselves, organize themselves to become an association. And they are mobilizing all of the therapists in the Bahamas. Yes. To come and join them to and show the benefits of having an association, right? So I'll start with you, Rochelle. First, I want to know, what's the difference between a masseuse and a massage therapist?
On this morning. Greatly appreciate it. Now, it's very important. It's a very good question that you ask, because a whole lot of persons are confused with both terms, okay? We are massage therapists. We are therapists, all right? The term masseur and masseuse is a male and a female person who would give massages, but the type of work they do is not what we do, okay? That term, it was used way back many, many, many years ago. And those persons found themselves in compromising positions where they got into extra things.
Say extra things.
I mean extra things like everybody hear the term happy endings and touching areas of the body that a therapist is not supposed to touch.
So you don't do that.
We do not do that. Now, if you're getting services from persons who do that, they are not massage therapists. Massage therapists, we seek to meet the ethical needs of our clients within our scope of practice. In our scope of practice, we deal strictly with the muscles. We deal, we don't go into any areas. Our hands are never supposed to go underneath the sheets. And we know right now here in the Bahamas, we have persons who are calling themselves massage therapists, and they're doing all kinds of other things. All right. And what that is doing is, of course, it's bringing down the profession. So I'm here to say and let the Bahamas know at large, we are massage therapists. We are not masseuse. We are not masseurs. If you're looking for those type of services, you'll have to look elsewhere, into prostitution or wherever else. OK, and that's not even legal in the Bahamas. So we are massage therapists.
So I know that you're supposed to have some kind of activity soon, but before we get there, I want to understand, what is it that you're trying to do? You're trying to form an association. Why is forming an association so important?
Okay, well, good morning, Bahamas. Thank you, Cecil, for having us on the show this morning. Well, let me tell you, because of our little friend COVID, who's really turned this world upside down, we've seen that there were some loopholes in our profession. One being that we were not as organized as we would think. And what happened when COVID shut down the country and everything was that, you know, the government told us where we were placed, which was along with the cosmetologists of the country. No offense to all cosmetologists. However, we do more than cosmetology, okay? We go further in depth with the body, restoring muscle tissue function, working with the soft tissue just to help bring about a positive change within the soft tissue of the body, as well as to aid in movement and many, many other things. So first, we had to see that where we were placed in the country. And so the association was now being talked about maybe about 20 years. And that is a very long time, yeah. Okay? And so therefore, you know, with us having about 390 persons, and it's actually more than that, about 450 roughly, in terms of massage therapists here in the Bahamas, we need to be regulated, we need to be unified. And so therefore, when you have a large amount of persons such as that, we need to have a voice. We need to come together and say, okay, this is what we do in our profession, okay? These are our standards. And so these standards need to be upheld. These standards need to be maintained. And they also need to be increased or also taken to the next level. And
Is there a similar association or body existing in the United States?
Yes, yes, yes. There's actually a couple. There is the AMTA, American Massage Therapy Association. There is the National Board of Massage Therapists as well. And so you would see that in a lot of countries, they do have associations or governing bodies mm-hmm. that will help the government as well as others or even the public as well as other massage therapists that would like to become a part of this growing profession just so that you can help the profession and also educate others.
So this concept isn't new, this forming an association. This is like the thing you should be doing. This is like,
yes, yes, okay. Yes.
It is very important here in the Bahamas that all of the massage therapists come together as one unified voice, okay? It is upon us as massage therapists to teach the government, to teach the Bahamas at large what it is that we do.
Yeah, because I didn't know a massage therapist is different from a masseuse.
Exactly. And then a whole lot of persons don't know. It's almost like they don't know where to put us. We are actually healthcare providers.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
When we touch someone, we bring change to every aspect of who you are. And I'm talking about mentally. If you have stress, massage can get rid of stress. Okay? Anything that is physically going on in your body, massage can bring balance to it. And even spirituality, because we're spiritual beings as well. And that's why it's very important for persons to be very positive-minded whenever they are about to touch someone. So massage covers all of that. We are healthcare.
So it sounds more of a science instead of a trade.
It's an art. I like to call ourselves ministers of touch, mm. honestly, because we administer touch. Touch is that powerful. And it is upon us to educate, to keep ourselves educated first and foremost, okay? That we would be able to explain to people, to explain to them, to medical people, persons as well. Because a whole lot of doctors don't really understand what we do. They think they like to use terms, oh, y'all just feeling up, we just rubbing up. No, 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 no. We are touching every aspect of who you are when a massage therapist enter into that room and begin to engage a treatment.
So I know we have limited time today, but I want people to get in contact with you. It seems as this unification is something urgent that people need to be communicating with you, and so you can start the process of organizing and everything.
Yes.
So how does one get in contact with the organization?
Sure.
And let me repeat the name of the organization. It's the Bahamas Association of Massage Therapists, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
It's an NGO. You applied for a non-profit organization
yes.
Belt or yes. name, title.
Yes.
But you're about to do your bylines and everything.
Yes.
And that's where you want
policy.
You want everyone to come together to be a part of that.
Indeed, indeed. So right now we are in the formulation stage. And so you can get in touch with myself or Rochelle Scavella. My telephone contact is 376-6521.
Say that again.
376-6521. Okay. And you can also get in contact with Troy. Okay, Troy.
Is Troy's last name? Hano?
Yes.
Seymour.
Okay, Seymour.
Troy Seymour.
You.
Okay.
Troy Seymour, 433-5495. Okay, and
you can get in contact with myself.
Yes.
My telephone number is 809-3549.
And do you all have like a landing page, a social media landing page or a website yet?
Not as yet. And it's only because we're waiting on getting these finalized stuff from our...
As soon as you get the official documents.
Right.
Exactly. And then you start the big launch.
Yes.
So finance seems to be important. And you having a big fundraiser in order to make things happen. Pay for these applications and forms and fees that you need to get involved.
Yes.
So what is it that you are planning and when is it? And I assume you want all the therapists to come together and participate.
Indeed. We definitely need as much therapists to come to this event as possible. We are also inviting the public to also be a part. Okay,
yes,
so our fundraiser on the 30th of this month.
So it's this month?
This month, okay. July 30th. It's the Paint and Party at Down to Earth Adventure Farm starting at 6 p.m. till midnight.
I know Down to Earth. That sounds familiar. Where is that again?
Sinclair Farms.
Sinclair Farms.
It's
Cowpen Road.
Cowpen Road.
Cowpen Road.
Shout out to Mr. Sinclair.
Okay. Yes.
That's a fun place.
I would like to say, yes. So for those of you who have never went to Down to Earth Adventure Farm, he partnered along with us, so I want to say a thank you so much. It's amazing that when we decided to come together to pull this off, key persons just pour into it because they saw the vision. And Sydney Sinclair is one of those persons who sat down with us. He said, hey, I got this place. Y'all come on down, take a look at it. And we were so amazed when we reached there. The place is just so nice. It would give you that nice fresh air, enough space. You know, it's COVID friendly. It's a nice atmosphere where you're just getting that fresh air coming in. And I mean, we're just looking for a wonderful time. So thank you so much, Sinclair. And our DJ, our DJ, talented man, he came in, partnered with us.
So this is food, folks, and fun.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We're going to have games. I'm talking about games. All of the big popular games, the Jenga, the Connect Four.
It's a big fun day for a therapist.
It is a fun day for the public at large.
Okay,
for the therapist as well as everyone else. Just come on down and food and drinks will be on sale. We're just going to have a real fun time. And for the therapist, a whole lot of us, we haven't seen each other in such a long time. So it's a good meet and greet as well.
So I know you're charging. Yes. So what is the money going to be used for? So everyone understands.
Perfect. Yes. Okay, so our tickets are on sale right now, so you can call as soon as the show is finished. Please try to get a ticket, okay? Now, the fundraiser is helped to pay for our legal fees, and we have a very high bill there, okay? Mm-hmm. As with everything, okay? Legal fees are not cheap, and so therefore, the formulation of the association is to pay for all of the legal fees that we have incurred, okay, so that we can get through everything that the lawyer has asked for, and then we can process the documentation, and that will help. Plus, this will go towards a lot of other things, such as guest speakers.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely want to bring in guest speakers within the future. And so, therefore, a lot of funding that we will raise will go towards helping to establish a stronger profession for massage
therapists. So, to purchase tickets, is the same number as before, or is it a special number?
Yes.
Just call any questions, anything at all. Please give us a call.
Same numbers. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I see I have a caller here, so let me let the caller come through in case he's going to ask an important question.
Okay, thanks.
Go ahead, caller. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a fundraiser for a massage therapist.
Yes.
This association is newer.
Yes, it's a new association, and they're formulating it and everything right now.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. It's needed in the country. It is really needed. Yes. So you're going to have fun and games and what have you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You said something about painting?
Yes. It is the paint and party. So some persons like the term sip and paint. Well, we want to not just paint, but also have a good time. This will also be a bonding time for therapists. Like I mentioned earlier in the segment, there's about 350 therapists on record. Sorry, 390. But roughly, there's actually about 450 massage therapists within the Bahamas. And that's from Abaco all the way down to Inagua.
Oh, it sounds like fun. So what if I can't paint?
That's okay. You can still come out and enjoy. I'm not a painter, but I may have a paintbrush in my hand. It might not be called art, but it can be called something.
Okay. Well,
the sipping is going to help you.
Okay.
Libations.
Right.
All right.
Thank you very much, Carla.
And it's kids-friendly, right?
Kids-friendly?
This is more for adults.
More for adults.
Because we go straight until midnight.
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
You can give us a call, okay?
Dress code. Anything special?
Comfortable. You're on a farm, so just be real comfortable.
All right.
Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, please give us a call. So love to hear from you.
So,
okay, there.
So before you go, right, I want you to remind me when the event is.
Yes.
What's the price of the ticket?
Yes.
And again, of course, the number to get in contact.
Right. Yes. So it's July 30th. So that is the last Saturday of this month, July 30th. Our tickets are $65. That will also include a drink.
Two drinks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And you definitely do not want to miss it. July 30th, $65 for the tickets. If you do not get the paint and party ticket, there's also a party reservation for you. So you can also enjoy that afterwards. But spacing is very limited with the painting. So please, hurry up, call.
With the party part of it, what you'll do is you paint
again. I'm listening now. It's just two different things at this particular event. It's a paint.
It's going to blend into a bonding experience as well.
Okay.
Just explain that part so everyone understands.
Let me explain that part. Okay, so $10 will be the admission that you're able to come in and party with us.
Okay, so it's a $10 fee just to come and party.
Just a party. If you don't want to paint, that's fine. Just $10 to get in, and you can just hang with us. We have drinks and food and the games and everything else.
Okay.
Okay? Because
and now there's a paint part aspect of it.
There's a paint part of it as well.
And how much does it cost?
Okay. That there is $65. The $65, mm-hmm. It comes with two drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And right now we have persons who would like to bring up the family, like a group. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a group, three persons or more,
mm-hmm.
we will adjust the price for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Nice.
So three persons or more, okay, you just give us a call and then we work it out from there. All right?
Good.
Again, good. $65 to sip and paint and party,
mm-hmm.
or $10 to get in and just party with us until 12 o'clock.
And where's it going to be located again?
Yeah, Sinclair Farms, Cowpen Road, or Down to Earth Farm. Yeah, everybody knows as Down to Earth Farm.
And the phone number for Facebook to call?
Yes, 376-6521. Or you can get in touch with Rochelle
at 809-3549.
Okay, and I appreciate you joining me today because I'm definitely planning to come out.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yes.
And I understand the need for the association, especially to have everyone under the same umbrella and the rules and the best practices happening and to make sure everyone is doing what they need.
Yes, it will make us more credible.
It will make you more credible.
You know? Yes.
And especially how this is being done all around the world now.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas is joined us by Megan. But this is Guardian Radio AM. Again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I was talking to some folks at the Bahamas Association of Massage Therapists. And on the other side of the break, we will be talking about polio and Bahamians who are living with it. We'll be right back.
Your basketball teams up today for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, August 1st through the 7th at the Hope Center. Get ready for the pastors versus politicians, along with the Phil Lightburn Slam Dunk Contest, then Energy 3-Point Shootout, along with all championship games, live in living color at the Kendall G. Eliza Gymnasium, Sunday, August 7th, beginning at 5 p.m. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Street Basketball Classic. For more information, contact 601-484-2.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
Yeah.
The kids are going back to school, so pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardians Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over, and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassar Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Feel the glory of the 2022 World Athletics Championships in Eugene, Oregon. Feel the glory as Team Bahamas strides for gold July 15th through 24th. The World Athletics Championships, 10 days, 2,000 athletes, over 200 countries battle for supremacy. Join Guardian Media for daily updates on Team Bahamas at the World Athletics Championships at Track City, USA. Brought to you by Fidelity Bank Bahamas and by PowerAid, distributed by the Caribbean Bottling Company. Feel the glory at the World Athletic Championships 2022.
Sone Milowibo opens the throttle and comes down the home stretch with a commanding advantage.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And now I'm going to join in with my guest, Mr. Whitney Mortimer, who's going to basically express his story. And this may have to be a two-part show because his story is an interesting one and that the entire Bahamas needs to hear. And I was intrigued to know that there are people, this just shows my naivety, that there are people now living, survivors of polio, and that they are amongst us, and that we are not paying attention to them. And I wanted to have a conversation with Whitney, who is an author, by the way. And I was communicating with him about purchasing a computer. And I said, man, Rotary would definitely help you. But I wanted to hear his story, by the way. Whitney, are you there?
Thanks, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear, so can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. And I wanted to start the conversation about you. Basically, at the point of where you were diagnosed with polio.
Okay. When I was much younger, like in between 0 and 5 years old, I was ill with a disease that the doctors at the hospital didn't properly diagnose. And my mother wasn't satisfied with that, so she decided to go and make a public appeal at the newspaper, which was the Tribune at the time. And so they opened up a fund called the Crippled Child Fund, I think. It later morphed into the Crippled Children's Fund. And she was able to take me to Miami Children's Hospital in Miami, where it was properly diagnosed, and I had some medical procedures done to my back and all that. They couldn't correct too many things because the disease had set in, but they could make it a little bit more comfortable for me and for me to be able to move around.
And when I think of polio, I thought this was something 1930s, 1940s, that it has been eradicated from the Bahamas, definitely from the North and the Americas. And when I come across you and you were telling your story, I said, this can't be. We have had people living now in the Bahamas with polio. And I felt ashamed. I felt ashamed that I did not know this. But when you said you had surgeries and that, you said crippled child fund or being handicapped, what does that mean? So people can visualize what is happening to you or had happened to you.
You mean like what the disease does to the body?
Or you specifically, either one.
Well, it's the liquidating disease that causes deformity and atrophy of muscles. So you have difficulty using your limbs. But it is also a respiratory disease because it attacks your lung. Those of us who've been around from ancient times will remember that they had these lung machines that they used to put patients in the old days to treat them. But like for me, I had a deformity of the spine. There's a curvature that they had to correct so I can stand up more straight and to you know, have balance to walk and that sort of stuff. So it was like a long process. I spent, I think it was 9 months in hospital. I had a spinal surgery and I remember being on my stomach for a long time. Every morning I would get they would remove the bandages from off my back and give me injections. Times when my mom came to visit, it was always sad to see her go. I'd always be crying.
And just for the record, so people understand, how old are you right now?
Well, half a century plus 20.
So you're about 70 years old. See, I quicker than adding. So you were a 70-year-old man, and when I met you, I meet you as a poet, a writer. And I was saying, okay, when you can publish your book, right? And you were explaining to me that you need a computer.
Right.
Right? And mind you, that moved me, saying, because I write also. And to know that you may need a special computer, is that what it is?
That's correct. I used to be able to write, right? But my brain goes far quicker than my hand can write. So if I am to write effectively, I need a computer that has software that can recognize my voice and write the text out for me as I dictate it. It's called voice recognition software.
And I am committed to making sure that this happens, and I'm hoping that those who are listening will be able to assist me with it. Just yesterday, I had a member of the Rotary of Soda Ocean. I was explaining your story, and they were intrigued, right? And even to our naivety, they weren't appreciating that there are survivors of polio living inside the Bahamas who need assistance, right? But I want to hear about you growing up, because it sounds like you were about five, six, okay, when you contracted this, right? How did you go to school? Because you definitely learned it. You're definitely well-versed in writing, you know?
Okay. I had a very supportive family. Because, you know, like, I often look at my contracting polio as good fortune, because some good things come out of that. Good things come out of everything bad. And when I was, like, confined to bed, I had an uncle who lived in Florida. He sent me boxes of toys and also books. So I was always a shock when it comes to reading. I was reading from them because my father, he preschooled me. So I know the alphabet and how to count and that sort of stuff. And some of the requisite. My first school was homeschooling. Then in 1955, I went to St. Cecilia's.
So you actually get to go to school?
Yeah, some my parents, man, tell me, you know, you got to compete in that real world, man. You ain't, no one's going to be treating you with any kid gloves. You got to go out there and fight for what you want. So I went to St. Cecilia's. Mm-hmm. That was a cinch, man. That wasn't nothing that they were teaching me that I didn't know before. They taught me, like, cursive way to write, the alphabet and that sort of stuff. I was getting A's on my report card, you know, all the time there. And I stayed there until 59, when my father transferred me to John Memorial. It's kind of fuzzy that I went there as to what really went down, because that school was not so organized, like, you know, how it was when I was at St. Cecilia's. They had, like, open space for classrooms and stuff. And so he was hearing noises from the teacher next door to you and that sort of thing, you know. That's sort of transitional for me. And I stayed there from 59 until 61. Then I went to San Senior, which is now E.B. Roberts. And I stayed there from 61 until 64. Now, while I was there, I was still, you know, coming in the top three in my class. And there was no thing about competition for me. I was to learn as much as I can, be the best as I can. But I didn't care who was there, like, I have to beat you or I'm better than you. Well, while I was there, one summer, my homeroom teacher, Mr. Iskin Hammer, he said to me, "What are you doing here?" I was like, "This is the school that I attend." He's like, "No, man, you're better than this. Get out of here. Go. Choose some schools. Sit there and examinations. I know you can pass them. Tell your mom, you know. And gallery, and I ended up going to Prince William, which was the grammar school there, and it was at a seat. And that was like when my eyes really got open, because we had teachers there with BAs, MAs, and PhDs. And I really absorbed, you know, a lot of the things that I was taught there. We had teachers who was supported by presenting it.
So let's talk about jobs. Have you worked?
Yes, I worked a couple of places, mainly as an intern at the Tribune, you know, during my teenage years, like my middle teenage years, 15 until I quit them in, I think, 1970. So I was working summers as an intern, and I was attached to the editorial department where I was a proofreader for some time, and I also did Spanish at high school level. So AP News, the Associated Press News, came in Spanish and English, and sometime because of atmospheric conditions, the news came off the teletype machine with garble, and I was able to translate for them, so I'd translate the Spanish to English so that they could have the news carried in the news, they would give it to the editors, and they edited it and
So you, it's not as if you were afraid to work despite your condition. You were prepared. You competed, yeah, right?
No, because I never thought of myself as being different from you.
Mm.
I am normal. How you see me? That's another story. That's something that you have to deal with. I really don't care how you see me. You could stereotype me, you could pigeonhole me, you could fingerprint me. It doesn't matter. It's what I think about myself and what I do to the best for me, not for you or anybody else. I do that for me first.
Well, definitely. I see we have a caller there who wants to engage you, and I'm going to see if that's possible, because I know I have you on the phone line. I'm just waiting on the nod of the producer.
Okay,
patch them through then. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I sure enough can.
Go ahead, this Bremen.
A godly day to this dark in a waste along with you.
Excellent.
And of course, Whitney.
Hello.
You remember me, Whitney?
Not really. I know you from being on the radio.
Oh, well, you used to come around to Donald Fox.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a long time ago. Yeah, I remember Donald, but I don't remember you. So many people used to come around, you know.
You used to be there.
Yeah, but that ain't here nor there. What do you want to say to me?
Oh, well, I just wanted to find out if you remembered me. But what I want to say to you, I want to give you my regards and, you know, keep on doing what you're doing and tell Lina hello for me.
Thank you, sir. I'll pass the message for you.
Thank you very much, Bremen. But continuing the conversation with you, Whitney, right? You would, what one would consider it as a hero, a brave soldier who faced adversity and say, I must survive, I will do my best, right? And I would like to know, in terms of the overarching living in the Bahamas, how hard or how challenging is it in terms of support from the government, support from organizations, and in terms of being mobile? How much of a challenge is it?
Well, it's quite a challenge. Let me compare to something. I attended a symposium on disability in Canada, in Nova Scotia, British Columbia, Vancouver, British Columbia, during the early 90s. And let me tell you the sort of support that we had there at that symposium. They put 20,000 school children on furlough to help us.
Wow. Just as support, to help make sure that everything goes well.
You need someone to carry a bag, push your wheelchair, take something for you somewhere. You had someone, they were trained. They also were part of our welcoming package. they had primary school children draw pictures and write welcoming notes to us, and everybody received one from whatever child they picked for you. They had transportation explicit for persons who were disabled. You could call at certain times during the day and arrange for them to come and pick you up from your hotel to get you where you needed to go. And they were instructed to wait for you at that venue when they come to pick you up, to wait for you for half an hour before they leave without carrying you. At that time, I had a friend who I met through a friend who I was with, who the government was giving $1,000 a month to for her upkeep. She paid $25 a month for room, board, electricity, all the utilities that she lived in a specially constructed area, dormitory or a home that she lived. So, you know, you can catch the bus, get free tickets to catch the bus, or you pay a nominal amount, but it has to be exact. I was on the bus one day, and I needed to pay 20 cents more, and I gave him 25 cents, and he told me he couldn't take it. He had to take exactly 20 cents. Hmm. Now, compared to what we have here, well, if your parent or your family are not there for you to help you, like, get your education and support you and get the appliances and other accoutrements that you might need to walk about, like I needed leg braces. So at another time, we'll talk about my rehabilitation and therapy and that stuff, which is a long, long story. You really get left behind, and then you have to be exposed to the real world so that you could be socialized and sophisticated. The only way you could be unafraid to talk to someone is by talking to someone and making mistakes until you feel comfortable to talk to them. And I don't worry about that. For me, I don't have courage in anybody in the world. Right now, if you hook me up with the Queen in Buckingham Palace, I'll talk with her. You call Biden, I'll talk with him too.
I know you're not afraid to talk to anyone, and your brain always working and thinking. You have ideas and concepts. And I wanted to know, how are you able to engage people, to engage your environment? Are there any network social programs that come and look for you and make sure that you are okay?
I have fun to make sure that I'm okay. Women, my sisters, another friend who are female, they make sure that I'm okay.
So basically you have friends and family, but not necessarily government and civic organization. That's what I'm understanding.
No, well, sometimes you have to go to someone's red tape just to get minimal things done that should happen on my team. I think any country should be taking care of persons who are differently able.
Mm-hmm.
No questions asked.
I know we have like Disability Month, right? And are you actively involved in that organization?
Let me tell you this, man. When I came back from Canada, I was so enthusiastic. I was already in BAPD, Bahamas. What's his name? The BAPD, Ability for the Association for the Disabled Person.
Mm-hmm.
Associated, right? That's with Dolphin Drive, with the place they have there that they hire people.
BDA. Yeah, I see it.
Abilities Unlimited, okay? Mm-hmm. When I came back from Canada, I joined DPO, Disabled Persons Organizations, right? I was the secretary there. And I felt fired up, man, to make things move and so forth. But they don't treat us like we have any that we could make constructive contributions to the organization. In fact, instead of people asking us what we want as far as help is concerned, they tell us what they want to, how they want to help us, which doesn't help. I'm sorry for that alliteration, but if you want to help someone, you have to ask them what their needs are. Let me give you a practical example. A couple of years ago, there was a big quake in Haiti. The NGOs were given every person in Haiti, a street light. These people are displaced, poor. They don't have money to buy food. What do you think happens when the bodies in the street light went dead? They threw away the street lights. So that wasn't effective. That's a waste of money. If they had asked them what they needed, they would buy something that was more, or given them something that was more practicable. That's what I mean when I say you ask persons what they need, and you try to entertain those needs. That's the only way the thing works. You can't say, it's a blanket thing, we give everybody this and that and so forth, because my needs are different from other persons' needs.
And I appreciate that. And I, from my experience, I know Rotary International and UNICEF has partnered for about 35 years to eradicate polio all around the world, right? And I know that only three nations around the world has any kind of systemic polio outbreak. You know, you have Pakistan, Nigeria, and Afghanistan. But in terms of polio being a problem, that some would say that is not a problem at all. But just recently, I mentioned before you came on, that United States had their first polio, someone who contracted polio, in the last 10, 15 years. And now the entire country is in uproar, saying, how is that possible? And I know that there is no cure for polio, right? But there's definitely exists safe and effective vaccines to help prevent it. But once you have it, you know, you have all type of issues, and being handicap or spinal injury, even issues with respiratory, I know all of that can come into play.
Right.
So, go ahead.
It's also been found in England, too.
Imagine. So, and I know that Rotary, I was speaking to some of my Rotary guests, that they plan to have expo in terms of what all they are doing to make sure there's no issue with polio in the Bahamas on October 24th. But I want to ask you this, right? Is there any association? Do you know of any other person in the Bahamas that you may have come across in your travels who've had polio? Like, is there some type of network of support?
No official network of support that I can think of. Not specifically for persons who are polio survivors. But there are many other persons around. Most persons you see who have a difficulty walking are persons who are polio survivors.
And I'm just, because of you, I'm learning to appreciate that as a truth. But I would have never thought of that. I thought polio was completely eradicated in this hemisphere.
I don't know if we are invisible. I know we are fiercely independent. And we don't really go around soliciting help, per se. We try to help ourselves. And if we can't do that, then we would ask for assistance. Like, if I go somewhere and I had to walk up a step, I'd prefer to try it myself. And then if I couldn't, if someone was there, I'd say, give me a hand, please.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a quick break now, and I'm going to answer that telephone call on the other end. But I'm having a conversation with my guest, Whitney. And he's telling me his experience of being a person who have contracted polio at a young age. But we will be right back.
What's your flavor?
Tell me what you like.
I gotta have some Powerade right now. Replenish me,
hydrate me,
bring power to my game.
Oh,
so let me have it.
I need some
Powerade. So tell me what's
that's your flavor.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio. I'm going to make it quick and go straight to the caller. Caller, can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Yeah, you break it up a little garble a little bit, but go ahead. The call got dropped. Sorry about that. But Whitney, we go back to you. I was hoping to hear that caller. I wanted to talk about supporting you. I know that you have some ideas in terms of publishing your life story and publishing some poetry, publishing some thoughts. And you were mentioning that you need a special computer. And I said, I'm committed to making sure and partner with some organizations, make some phone calls, right? And I would like to know what else, in terms of disability in general, what would you recommend is needed or how we should approach that?
You mean for all the open physical existing development?
All.
First, there are specific needs for all the examples of disability could take a wide spectrum. With someone who's visually impaired needs something that I need who's physically impaired. So you have to get specific needs for persons, right? But basically, access to education. Because if you're part of education, then you can get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Be some kind of entrepreneur. The state doesn't need to help you.
So you get be self-sufficient.
Yes. We don't really like asking for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to make our own money, do our own thing, just like you do. And the next thing too is to pay money that's commensurate with our skills. That's what it is. They should change it.
I understand. They do you a favor.
I went for once in my life where I was getting some money that I was satisfied with.
Mm-hmm.
And it only lasted for maybe a year.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Access to health.
Yeah.
And to proper food. And to care, you know, like exercise and physiotherapy, those things, and some sport. I used to take part in archery that was better suited for me. But you have wheelchair basketball, you have table tennis, or what you call ping pong. That's a sport people in the wheelchair can play.
So definitely you need a support network that will engage you in terms of you saying what you need and then a response.
Right. And like more networking in terms of interfacing with other people. Like I had a blind girlfriend and there were tons of things that I learned from her.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm complaining about what's wrong with me. No, that was zero compared to who was wrong with her. Learning and perpetual darkness, and she adjusts to day and night, but there's always a smile on her face.
Wow.
Adapting. Okay. There's no magic with someone who's blind, right? Like, Raymond can attest to this. You trust people. You trust people more than anybody else who has a disability. Okay? You trust people with, you know, food. How do you know that they're trying to poison you? Mm-hmm. You trust people with your money. They could take it. They don't want to be honest to tell you what it is. Some people could see. They're not totally blind. But for the most part, you trust someone to tell you what the denomination of your money is, and that's how you put it inside your wallet or your purse or your pocket. Mm-hmm. And there's more than anything that you trust people with. But I don't care to discuss now with the phone, but...
No, man, I appreciate your insight. I think that we take people for granted, especially people who are going through disabilities. And I've never considered that there are times able-bodied persons need to make an extra effort to accommodate persons who have challenges. And I think that there needs to be a national educational platform to make us aware. That, like I said, I needed to be aware that you and people like you existed.
Yeah, I think you have to start from preschool teaching these values and exposing children to that, you know, they are persons who you have to volunteer and help and not get steer. You can ask questions, right? If you ask questions, you'll get answers. Mm-hmm. But don't get steer
and don't stop
and make fun. Because in a week, you could be the same way too. It could happen quickly, you know?
Whitney, I'm running out of time. I enjoyed this conversation. I'm going to continue this conversation because I want you to come on again and so we can continue a narrative, continue an educational process for Bahamians in general. I'm having a discussion with Whitney Mortimer, who is a Bahamian who's living with polio, right? Had the effects of polio. Apparently, there are millions of persons around the world with polio, and there are a number of them living right here in the Bahamas, and we need to educate ourselves on that and to remember that we have a duty of care to these people. This has been Guardian Radio AM. My name again is C.A. Nuri, and I shall see you again on Monday. Have a wonderful day.